recording.
Well, it's easier to move that.
Type it
fast. Figure it out.
I can hold it if you want me to.
Okay.
This is the hot end here.
Yeah. Let me just write that. You see in the book, they were calling you Jim.
Yeah.
So well,
What it was, I was born James. And after meeting Baba, I got this very strong push to change my name. Very strong. And so I had a series of interesting experiences and ended up with the name Brynar, B-R-Y-N-A-R. And then Baba started calling me Brynar.
Uh-huh. So, but at the time you met Baba, it was...
I met Baba, it was still Jim.
But what was your, like, James what? You know?
James Mel, M-E-H-L.
Do you have a middle name?
I don't use it.
So, like in the index, I put James, this is Brynar.
Yeah. Or actually, you could put Brynar Mel as my name, and then James in parentheses, or whichever is. I don't know which is proper, actually.
Okay.
I mean, since Baba started calling me Brynar, then I've just taken that. That's the only one I consider that my real name. But whichever works best indexing.
What's your birthday?
The 18th of September, 1937.
So, why don't we just start, when did you first hear Baba?
My very, very first contact with Baba was in 1956. It was after dance class one Sunday morning. I was walking out of class. My teacher lived in the studio, her apartments were adjoining the studio.
New York City?
No, this was in Los Angeles. This was before Krask and all that. And as I was leaving the studio, I noticed on a table over by where her bay window dining area was, a book with a strong blue cover on it. I was just pulled right over to the book. And the title was God Speaks. And I thought that was a pretty nervy title. So I picked up the book, and it just sort of hit me. I looked at my teacher and I said, "This is what I've been looking for." And she said, "Well, dear, you can borrow the book." So I did.
She was a borrower?
No, no. She said, "You can borrow it."
Just say, "I'm going to make
sure
this is
working."
How do you use this anymore?
Seems to be. Oh, hold on. So. I took it home, and I started reading it. And how much detail do you want me? You just want the basic.
Well, your meeting with Baba
is the most important thing.
Right. But
okay,
so I'll put in a little bit of background.
You
first heard about
Mahatma Gandhi. Yeah, because you don't want me to get too esoteric or mystic about all of this, right? You prefer just facts.
Well, whatever.
You can always add it. And during that week, while I was reading the book, I had an experience of something as the infinite ocean in which one could be immersed and not drown, or drown and still be able to breathe, that kind of thing, which was interesting because I had to have a great fear of water. And so I experienced this ocean lapping up, starting at my feet, and then slowly up my whole body, and I was wide awake at the time, and I thought, "My God, I'm going to drown." And it went up over my head, and I realized it had something to do with reading this book. So I finished the book and I went back to class. This was a week later, Sunday. It took me a week to read the book. We had classes every day. And I went the following Sunday and I said, "Miss Frey, I have a couple of questions about this book." And she said, "Well, dear, I don't know anything about it. I just bought it to make some man happy."
There is some bother.
It wasn't Frey, F-R-E-Y?
San Francisco.
Oh, isn't that something? Because her name was Frey. I wonder if there is he in the military at all?
I don't know, but I remember that name has been. They've either gone to the last Darshan or East West Gatherers.
Oh, isn't that something? Because she never had.
Carolyn Frey.
Carolyn Frey. Oh.
F-R-E-Y, right?
Yeah, F-R-E-Y. Because the only relative I know that she has, she's Swiss, it's a Swiss ray, is a nephew who they've been trying to trace for years because she's near death at this point. And they've been trying to find her nephew, who's in the military, but they can't find him.
Frederick Frey.
Frederick Frey.
Carolyn Frey.
Oh, no, that's Fred and Carolyn Frey. Actually, what do they say? No, that's right. No, that's not the same relative. Yes, the Freys live up in Calistoga now, unless they've moved. They are, I think they're still Sufis, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah, Fred Frey. Yeah, right. So anyway, she said, no, dear, I don't know anything about it. I just bought the book to make some man happy, which turned out to be Baba. But anyway, she said, if you want to know, go over there and ask Joyce, who's one of my classmates. And I did. I went over and I said, Joyce, Miss Frey tells me, you know, tell me about this book, this man. And her mouth dropped open, her face fell, and she said, oh, he just left town this morning.
Oh, my God.
It was the week that, well, I mean, I was just living some blocks from the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. And so there I was reading
Gus.
That was Joyce Sturmer, Joyce Romney at the time. Yeah. And so, and Joyce and I became very fast friends. That was my
R-O-M-N-E-Y.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was a dancer.
She studied with Roselle Frey too, and her connection. Oh gosh, I don't know what her connection with.
She had met Bob during that visit.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. Well, she had met him. Had she met him before then? No, I guess not. I think that was her first meeting with Baba. And she actually was a friend of Malcolm Schloss. And I think that was her Baba contact. Yes, it was. Malcolm Schloss, the poet.
Mm-hmm. So you know the exact date of this?
It was the very day that Baba left Hollywood in 1956. I don't know what date that was, but that was the... It was in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. So she had put that book out?
No, Miss Fred. Well, what it turned out is the Sunday that I had asked, Joyce had taken Miss Frey off to see Baba. And so she'd actually seen Baba, and then she bought the book, you know, and she said, make some man happy. No, she thought, well, she would do her little bit for God and Bible. And she just stuck it on the table there. And I just accidentally happened to see it. And 30 some years later, here we are, you know.
So. You became good friends with her, of course, and met other Baba people.
Yeah. Well, we were basically in Los Angeles at that time. It was pretty small. I mean, that was a long time ago in 56, and it wasn't exactly an overwhelming group, and I was never much of a groupie anyway. So it was basically just Joyce. And she was in contact with the Sufis, with Sufism reoriented. And so that sort of opens another whole chapter of my life, is through her, you know, meeting the Sufis. And I actually... You know, from having understood that Sufism is the best way to God, you know, which was their point of view, I became a Sufi in the old days before it was the thing to do. And then when I met Baba in 1962, I was in the army and I had given up dancing. After 3 years in the army, there was no way I could go back to dancing. So Murshida asked Baba, she had three of us who weren't quite sure what we were going to do. She asked Baba what we should do with our lives, and, you know, he talked to each one of us. And when it came to me, he said, you know, what do you know anything about? The result being, he said, a dancer. And so he sent me back to dancing. And so I left the meeting. It was the morning that all of the groups...
Frank.
It's me.
Come in.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Sula. I'm just delivering this little thing here.
Oh.
Ooh.
I brought it for. Yes, I know you really want to hear it. You just have to hang up.
It's a little duck story.
Oh, it's a wonderful baby.
Oh.
Your ticket is left on desk.
No, she did not give it to me. So I will go back and fetch
she
it.
She needs you to fetch it.
Okay, I will fetch it. Thank you, Frank.
Frank, stop in again. Are you off in a hurry?
No, I'll be around. I'd like to sit down and say hello to you for a minute.
Yeah.
Brunner obviously is giving you his life story on tape. Yes. That should take a few.
Well, it's 6 hours. I have it down to 6 hours now. Let's see, where was I?
Going back to 1962. But before that,
oh, yes.
I just wanted to clear this up. Because Ed told me that you had arrived in Pune earlier.
Oh, yes. Well, that was a very interesting story. What happens, I was stationed in Ludwigsburg, Germany. And Baba had sent out a letter saying, or had mentioned in one of the family letters, I think it was, that he might be able to see a few people in 62, like June or so. And so there I was in Ludwigsburg, and I, you know, it was possible to take military flights, no hops, because you've got these embassy courier flights and military courier flights going all over the world. And so I wrote Baba that I was going to come and see him in June. And so to make a very long story short, I began hopping literally all over Europe. I mean, from Germany
to... You had to leave?
I took leave, 30-day leave. I figured I'd give myself enough time to get there and back. And I started taking military flights, and they would send me from...
In June.
They would send me... You know, I'd go off to France, and then from France I'd come back to Germany, and from Germany they'd ship me off to England, from England back to France.
Trying to get to India,
you know, because they're supposed to be... It's supposed to be very easy, you know, because they've got courier flights to Pakistan. And it was an absolutely and totally demoralizing experience. And at the very end, when I had hopped all over the country, all over Europe, I was in a state of complete depression. And I was walking down the street that morning, and it was still dark, but I had just missed, you know, another courier flight, which was supposed to leave at 8 and left at 3 or something. I mean, really outrageous. A series of events that kept happening. I was walking down the street, and I felt like I had not a millstone around my neck, but the entire mill. I mean, I could hardly walk. I thought I was going to literally sink into the sidewalk and die. And I said, Baba, I give up.
You didn't know that this had been rescheduled for
a No, I didn't even realize it was a mass darshan. I just thought he was going to maybe see a few people if they showed up. And so I said, I give up. And the moment I said that, it's like whoosh, like this entire, the weight of the world just flew up off my shoulders. And the sun, well, I mean, talk about the timing, the sun just peeped up over the horizon and the birds started singing. I mean, all at the same time. I mean, talk about Cecil B. DeMille. It was wonderful. And when I finally got back to the base then, still feeling, you know, I was happy because of the, you know, but still depressed that I hadn't gotten there. And one of my sergeants came up to me and said, hey, Mel, how was India? And I said, well, I didn't get there. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean you didn't get there? He said, you look like a completely different person. So, you know, and army sergeants aren't given to, you know, hyperbole and poetry, etc. So I figured, you know, something must have happened. And so I cabled Baba saying, you know, unfortunately, due to my own awkwardness, blah, 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 etc., etc., I wasn't able to get there. And Baba wrote back saying, it wasn't anything like that, that it had been a test, and that I had passed the test beautifully, and that when I did see him, it would be more than made up for. You know, I had this in writing from God himself.
You still have that?
No, it was stolen. I was burgled one day, and all of my Baba things were stolen at that time. All my which later on I got a telegram from him, and all of those things. I think I have one little postcard left that Mani sent, and a little message that Baba, I'm just extending his greetings. But everything before that, because I always carried it with me. And one day during a performance, a thief came into the dressing rooms and stole everybody's belongings and personal things, so that went along with it. So, now, that was just the background for this other story, which is the 62 Darshan East-West Gathering. You know, we were given the dates, and, you know, we had to be there. We couldn't be there early, anything like that. We had to arrive on such and such a day. And so I made the arrangements, you know, got my flight. I was in the army. It was easy enough, you know, fly now, pay later kind of plan. And I thought what I would do, since I was going to be flying from Paris, I would go to Paris a few days earlier and sort of relax and have a good time and get ready to meet God, you know. And so I got to Paris. The next morning I woke up, and on the news, on the American military station, they announced the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, the Soviets sending the missiles to Cuba, and warning all of us that there probably would be a military alert. And of course, if there's a military alert, that means, you know, you have to go right back to your post. You can't get on planes, you can't get on trains, you can't do anything unless it's pointed straight back to your base. And I freaked. I thought, oh my God, not again, not again. No, I can't do this again. So I called Anita in a state of distress and said, Anita, what am I going to do? Anita Villard. And she said, well, dear, I suggest you get on the next plane to India, which hadn't occurred to me because, you know, I'm such a, Baba said, you mustn't arrive. You got to, so that wouldn't have occurred to me to go early. So I did. I just went and got on an earlier flight. So I got to India 2 days early. And I was put up at the Napier Hotel. The thing is, I don't even remember getting here.
In Bombay.
Or Pune. I don't remember. I didn't have time to cable and say I was coming early. Not that I remember. But when I got off, not off the plane, but when I got off the train in Pune, somebody was there waiting for me. And I've never figured that out. I don't know if maybe Anita cabled or called. I have no idea. No idea. But I think it was Adi K. Might have been Francis, but it was, I don't even remember. I mean, I was in such a state.
Do you remember what the date was then that you arrived in Pune?
It was, I believe, exactly 2 days before Darshan started, before the program started.
About that one.
Yeah. Yes. But I don't remember the exact date, and I don't have that passport. None of that stuff do I have anymore. And Joseph and Carrie are both gone, so they wouldn't remember unless it's in their diary or something. So I woke up the next morning and I went downstairs. I was staying right upstairs over Joseph and Carrie, and I went down to have a cup of tea with them. I hadn't showered or shaved or anything at the hotel, Napier Hotel, where they lived. And I was about halfway through my cup of tea, and clatter, clatter up the stairs came Francis Brabazon and said, Jimmy, you know, are you Jimmy? He said, Baba wants to see you this afternoon. I said, oh, wonderful, great. And so he left. Before I had finished my cup of tea, or it might have been a second cup of tea, I don't remember, but I was just finishing my cup of tea, when Francis comes back up the stairs and says, Baba wants to see you right now. And so here I was, a complete mess, you know, and being a Sufi at the time, it had been drummed into me that when you go to meet God, you know, I mean, your best suit, your tie, your the works, which I'm not much for anyway. I never did like dressing up. So here I was off to meet God, looking like an ass, like a wreck. And as I got closer and closer to Guru Prasad, I just sort of lost it. I mean, it's like somebody was doing a lobotomy on me. I just sort of was.
This was the day before now.
Must have been the day before, or was it still 2 days before? I don't remember.
Yes,
I just don't know.
What's the car that used to live in Woodstock?
I don't know. I think I was ahead of him because I think I was afraid. Like, even I saw, not Anita, I saw the English woman,
Delia
Dillion, and Anita were there at the Navy that day, later that day, or at dinner, or the next morning, and they said, oh, you were here. We thought we were the first ones here. And here, and so, I mean, I was just, I was even ahead of them.
Okay.
So whenever they got there, I was, you know, I don't think I was the first person, but I may have been. Delia or Anita, one of them, it couldn't have been Anita, one of them may have gotten there the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I was early on in there.
Tom Riley.
Riley.
Fred Marsh was the first one followed by Tom Riley, who had come by ship and arrived in Pune on the 16th.
Oh.
With no money. Ian Corf and Delia were next. Would you have followed that?
Delia. Dear Corf, who?
Enid Corf.
Enid Corf, that's who that was, yes. Right, Enid Carpentelia.
Most of the Westerners arrived on October 30th, see, but I think you must have been before them.
I was before.
Before they all arrived.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the place was deserted.
Okay.
Well, Napier was deserted anyway.
So then, Francis actually took you to Guru Prasad from the Napier?
Francis took me to Guru Prasad. And like I say, was it was after, like,
so this was still morning time?
It was still morning time.
Like 11
or yeah. 10? It was before noon, yeah. And we got to, and if I say the closer I got, we got to the place, the more, it's just like somebody was pulling my brains out of my head. You know, I couldn't think, nothing. I was, it's like I was being emptied out, literally, just, you know, vacuum tube stuck in my head and sucking my brains out just as well. Francis pointed me towards the door, and I stumbled up the stairs and said, "Take your shoes off." I mean, I was all thumbs. It was a complete mess. And so I got to the door, and he said, "Well, go on in." I sort of fell through the door, and I stood there, and on my stair, looking straight ahead, and I saw in front of me and to the right, there was a horseshoe of men, and I figured, well, that must be the Mandali or something. I didn't know who it was. And then on the left, I knew was Baba, but I couldn't look. I was absolutely frozen, you know, and I thought, I didn't know what to do. I just, time stopped, my brain stopped, everything stopped. And then someone, which I believe was, it turned out to be Erich, said, "Baba says you may embrace him." And that sort of broke the spell, and I was able to look. And there was Baba sitting, and I won't go into the description of that because I don't think that's the kind of thing you'd want to put in a book.
No,
I mean,
it is.
Oh, it is?
That's exactly.
Oh, I thought you just wanted facts, sort of.
No. At least,
yeah.
Definitely first impression.
Oh, okay, my first impression was that he was so tiny. It was like a little, it was like a little bird. I felt I could have picked him up in my hand and just held him and stroked his feathers. Tiny, excellent. I mean, the delicacy, and at the same time, the overwhelming beauty. I mean, at that moment, I knew beauty, period, at that moment. And and he was beaming, I mean, literally beaming. I mean, he was smiling from ear to ear, absolutely radiant. And as I started walking towards him, I mean, so much was going through my mind at the same time. First, I was concerned about how I was going to embrace him. He was so tiny and so delicate. I was afraid I'd crush him, you know? And also, I didn't know, should my head be above his or below his? And if I went down on my knees, would I knock him over? I mean, I was in a real tizzy. And at the same time, I was aware that this was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen in my life. And as I got closer, it's like the everything disappeared. The material world around him disappeared. And he was like, in a sense, floating in this halo of absolutely pure light. It wasn't colored or anything. It was pure. Yet it wasn't clear. Everything was emanating from him. That was pretty overwhelming. So, as I got to him, these two arms came out and whap, embraced me and dispelled all of my worries about how was I going to embrace him. I don't think I've felt such strength before in my life. Yeah, that little bird was very strong indeed. And then Eris said, "You know, Baba says you can go sit over there." So I went and sat in the horseshoe of men. And again, I was looking straight ahead towards the door where I'd come in, and I was frozen and just, I couldn't look at Baba. I know I must have had a big grin on my face. I mean, it was like ecstasy, you know? And then Eric said, "Baba says, are you happy?" And that, again, that sort of broke the spell, and I looked at Baba with this big grin on my face. I can still feel the grin. And said, "Oh, yes." And as soon as I said that, Baba clapped his hands and dismissed me. And that's what God means by when you do meet me, it will more than be made up for. And boy, was it, huh? Yeah, I mean, it was just, I mean, still, the impression is so alive and so vivid in his presence. I mean, I'll never forget that. There's no way. And in my life, in times since then, when, you know, I would go through periods of sort of doubt, like, my God, what is this? None of this made sense. I'd go back to that initial impression. Right. And that would always dispel any doubts I had, because it was not anything that could have been manufactured or faked. It was absolutely real. And I was not demented. I mean, this is not... No. So that was the first meeting with Baba. And then I saw him a couple of other times during... Well, that was the first time I saw him, you know, quote-unquote, by myself, the Mandalay there. And then after one of... I'm not sure what the sequence, but, you know, the Sufis, and I was still a Sufi at that time, had a meeting. All of the groups had meetings with Baba. So this one day, the Sufis were first, naturally. And so I went in with the Sufis, and that was the day that Baba told me that I was a dancer. And so, you know, that's, I went back to dancing.
Yeah, that's mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And then you did that skit.
Yeah, we did that embarrassing skit for Baba. And then the thing is that as I was leaving, and this ties into later history with the Sufis and all, as I was leaving the room with the Sufis, I was one of the first people, and I saw Margaret Kress, and a dancer was kind of walking towards me. And I'd already met Margaret in New York because I had been stationed at Fort Dix for part of my basic training, so I went in to visit her one weekend. And so on the way out with the Sufis, I saw her, and I marched right over to her and said, "Miss Kress, Baba says I'm to go back to dancing. May I come in with the dancers?" And she said, "Well, I don't see why not." She either said, "Well, I don't see why not," or "I suppose so." I cannot to this day remember what she said. It was one of those two things. So I turned on my heel and walked, marched straight back in through all the Sufis who were still coming out. I marched back in and had another meeting with Baba. And the second meeting was completely the opposite of the first one. The first one was so serious, and I mean, problems. And when the room was full of the dancers, it was suddenly like carnival time. We were laughing and joking and having a good time. And I thought, oh, this is what it's all about. And I was so happy. Completely the opposite.
When he said about the dancing, it's like you were there with the Sufi group, and Ivy Deuce was saying, "No, Baba, this boy doesn't know what to do."
Yes, I have. Well, she said, "I have three young men who don't know what to do with their lives."
Khaled Al-Fak and Gary Mel.
And Brunner Mel. Oh, Jimmy Mel at that time, Jimmy Mel. And so Baba questioned each one of us. And he looked at me, because I was trying to crawl under the carpet at the time. I was mortified, because, see, once I met Baba, then to me, the thought of asking him anything was so absurd. I mean, what was there to ask him? Like when he said, "Are you happy?" Well, what else? What are you going to say? "Oh, well, Baba, I'm happy except for, and here's my list," right? Nonsense. That all goes completely out of your mind. He says, "Are you happy?" I mean, you are so happy, you've never had a problem. You know, it's incredible. It's just incredible.
She was saying, "Here's Jimmy Mel."
Right. And Baba just looked at me. I mean, he knew I was trying to crawl under the car, bless his heart. And he sort of gave me this, you know, "This is a problem" kind of look, like, you know, what is this? And so he said, "Well, you know, what do you know anything about?" And I said, "Well, Baba," I said, "I know a little bit about dancing, and I know a little bit about music." And he sort of lifted his eyebrows, amazed, and said, "Well, what do you know more about?" And I said, "Dancing." And he said, "A dancer." And I understood, though I didn't register, it made the sign of perfection when he said, "A dancer." So.
But you had finished your training. You had been working as a professional
dancer. Oh, I was always already working as a professional dancer.
So what made you go in the army?
I was drafted.
Oh, it's like Korea?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly, but I wasn't sent to Korea. So I re-enlisted. I took an extra year so that I could get a European assignment. Mm-hmm. It turned about out turned out to be the perfect thing to do because that's how I was able to get to India.
Okay, so what else?
So I went back in with Margaret Kraske and the dancers, and it's like at that moment, interestingly enough, at that moment, my life began. That I was aware of. I mean, it really began when I met Baba. But, I mean, it took me a little while to come down from that. But the first, where I sort of felt myself back into the world, but in a very positive and wonderful way, which I had never known before, my life had not been a bed of roses, was that moment when I was in the room with Margaret Kraske and the dancers. Mm-hmm. And I thought, so this is what life can be.
That was the last meetings with Baba?
Yes, the group meetings. The group
meetings. And then they were going back to.
No, we still saw him the following day, I think. I think, I'm not sure of that, but I'm sure there's a record of the day that all the groups met him. So that was it. And then one of those days, and I don't know if it was after, it seems to me that it was after the day of the group meetings, and we must have had another day of seeing Baba, all of us at the same time, everyone, you know, the mass Westerners inside Guru Prasad. Because afterwards, when Baba dismissed us, everybody started filing out except a woman, Nancy Marwan, Nancy Amin, and Nancy Marwan now, and myself. I sat, I was at the back of the hall and I sat there. And then I noticed as people started clearing that she was up talking to Baba, and everyone had left the room at that point. And I just sat. I was like frozen. I sat. And she was talking to him for a moment. And then she left. And I've talked to her since then. She was not even aware I was in the room. She didn't even see me. She walked right by me. And I looked at Bob, and I just sort of thought to myself, well, if she can do it, I can do it. I was getting braver. You know? And so I looked at Baba, and I motioned. I tapped my heart and, you know, and motioned to him, you know, can I come too? And he smiled again and said, yes, yes. You know, he motioned to me like that, come. So I went up, and I just sort of, I mean, I was in the midst of a real love affair at this point. I mean, I just, and I just fell on my knees, and I said, and I had no, I didn't know why I wanted to see him. My mind, again, was completely blank, as it was for the whole time. I just wanted to be there. And as I fell on my knees, these words came out, which were totally unpremeditated, not words I had never thought. I said, I just wanted to tell Baba that I am his, to do with as he pleases. He scooped me up, literally. I felt like I was on my knees, right on his right side, right beside his legs. In fact, I think I was even slightly touching his sadra, you know, he was brushing me. And he scooped down and picked me up, gave me a big, wet kiss right there beneath the right eye on the part of my cheekbone. I mean, it was just the most big, delicious hug and kiss I'd ever received in my life, naturally. And he said, you have made me very happy. And of course, with that, as I'm just about to do now, dissolved in tears. See, these things with Baba, they are so alive. And the more time passes, instead of fading, they become even more clear because everything else starts to fall away. And they are so intense. I mean, they're so real, is the word. They are just so real. Like all of your life begins to relate to them, and life seems very unreal compared to what you when you're with Baba. It's like that is what's real. Everything else is just, it's there, but it's not real. And then that I felt very strongly. You don't think about it. You experience that. And that was really something. So I went bouncing out of the room, happy as a little lark. Oh, Baba.
I'm gonna get ready. You ready?
Okay, so now, is there anything else you want me to touch on? Because there was so much. This is basically just up to meeting Baba, right? So other things aren't really important.
Give me something about when Baba was there on the stage. And you were everybody what was going through you.
Oh, that was phenomenal. Oh, brother. Just being there in the pandal, watching Baba, just to sit. I mean, it was so exhausting to me. I would be dead. But by the time lunchtime was there, I'd already be utterly exhausted. And Baba was so, I mean, talk about alive.
Yes.
fish wala came. Should I buy fish? Hello.
Hello.
Chihuahua. Kindor company?
Yeah. This
they
is
deliver?
New system.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sponsored.
The fridge. In the fridge.
Hmm?
Yeah.
So, well, what are you supposed to make? Tandoori?
Mm-hmm. In the microwave.
Microwave doesn't come out good. You know, they don't get it hot.
I agree.
Microwave is good, you know, just for heating the things. But
yeah.
Cooking, you know, it goes in the sauce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't come out good.
Yeah, it's true. That's all happens from the inside instead of the outside. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would do the morning sessions after that. Do you just feel?
Oh yes, outside in the pondo. I mean, to watch Baba.
Isn't
it is this. So, watching Bob was like watching a five ring circus, you know, because he would be, you know, people would be coming up, he'd be embracing them, or they'd be putting their heads on his feet, or whatever was going on, and they would be giving him things, he would be taking them and giving them to the mandali. He would be giving instructions. He would be, you know, his hands would, you know, be constantly going. And his eyes would be constantly going. It's like he would focus on something, then he would be a million miles away. And he would focus on something, and then he'd be giving someone an order, then he'd be taking care of this and taking care of that. All the while, as people were going by, and his concentration was also always on what he was doing with, you know, the people embracing or bowing down, whatever they were doing. And in addition to that, he could go very pale, and then suddenly the color would come back, he would be very alive, one moment he would look dead, and I don't mean really dead, but you know, it was so extraordinary, it was like watching the sky during a storm, when, you know, the clouds would blow by, and then it would be clear, and then it would be cloudy, and then it would be sunny, then there would be rays of light coming down through the clouds, and then, I mean, and this went on at this pace, absolutely nonstop. I would be so exhausted, I couldn't even watch it all. I would just think, and by the end of the day, I wanted to get out of there more than anything. If you can imagine wanting to leave Baba's presence, but I would be so glad to just get out of that pandal. Mm-hmm. It was so intense. Mm-hmm. So intense. It was, oh my gosh. And it was quite something. I took a few pictures of Baba. I'd never taken pictures before in my life. They came out perfectly. One of Baba walking.
Where are they?
I have them in California.
You have the negatives?
Yeah. They're color slides. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them are absolute beauties. Beauties.
I mean, have you had copies?
Someone borrowed them to do a slideshow and made some copies, and the copies didn't come out well at all, so I've still got the originals, and I'll have some made. In fact, Fred Stankus talked to me about possibly using some for the, you know, the Darshan this year, and the Sahavas, I mean, mm-hmm. In Los Angeles. So, yes.
Have you mentioned it at all to Hermes, who's here?
Mm-mm. No.
Just, I mean, you wouldn't object to putting it in the book? Or?
Oh, if there was one that someone liked, no, I wouldn't object at all. I'd be delighted. You know, I mean, they're Baba's, they're not mine. Yeah.
How many do you have?
Oh, they're about 15 to 20.
Can we, did you want to go up and get your ticket or something? It'll just take me 5 minutes to drop in at the school.
Oh, sure. Oh, and then come back? Oh,
yeah,
oh sure. No, I don't mind at all.
Well, you should get off. I'll do my thing. Okay.
After 62.
I think I met her.
Nancy Merrill. She's an actress.
Yeah, I think I met her here in Myrtle Beach or something.
Yeah.
So, you were talking about being in the pondo.
And just watching Baba, how exhausting it was just to watch him. I mean, the thought of someone actually, because, you know, you sit there thinking, oh, this is all these people bowing down, isn't that nice, isn't that nice? But then you start to think, you know, you put yourself into Baba's shoes and said, you know, if I were sitting there and all these people were coming by, and I mean, it's staggering. There's no one of the things that he was doing could I have dealt with. Not the people coming by, nor keeping everything in order with the mandali, or I did none of it. I mean, it was really phenomenal. It's like...
So you took the photos under the pandal, not inside?
A couple under the pandal. Some were outside. One was, when he was walking outside with everybody watching. But a number under the pandal.
Yeah. And then during the group meetings, you said you had one with the Sufis.
One with the Sufis, followed immediately by one with the dancers. Which was exactly what happened to my life.
Do you want to say anything about the performance?
Just that God is very tolerant. We did the Sufis, which Baba always called them his goofy Sufis, and it's taken me years to realize why. I mean, bless their hearts, but we were sort of a goofy lot, I'm afraid, and I'm no longer a Sufi, as you probably surmise. But yes, we did a skit. We sat up one night and we decided we were all going to do this skit.
It wasn't sort of pre-planned
beforehand. No, it wasn't pre-planned beforehand. No, we literally sat up at night and wrote this skit out. And what it was, since Baba had told the three men what to do, we sort of tried to make up a skit using each of the three of us in the capacity Baba had set us on to now. So
let me just read you this. The short performance was meant to satire the three professions Baba had approved for Khalid, Gary, and Jim earlier. Meant to satire or just amplify?
Satire isn't the right word, because as a dancer, I had taken the role of Krishna, so I'm not so sure that satire would be the right word.
Krishna call it as a lovely goku.
Yeah.
Lovely is a quote. 3 became dressed
as a cow. Yeah. And she was the best of all. She had made a paper mask for herself, and it was just a wonderful mask. What an artist she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Charmian was the narrator. And
when you were dancing, this was supposed to be a funny thing. It wasn't like you were dancing seriously.
Oh no, I wasn't dancing seriously. Oh, thank God for that. I wasn't. It was just sort of like a burlesque, almost. But it wasn't. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it, really. Mediocre would be the best word, but you can't print that, I don't suppose. I mean, it was really pretty embarrassing, frankly.
But I think Baba enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, Baba, Baba just...
In your suitcase. In your suitcase. Let us talk here. In your suitcase. So, that was in the morning time.
I believe so, yes. Yes.
On the final morning.
Uh-huh, final morning.
So then after that, you said the goodbyes? Do you remember the last thing?
I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
No, I don't remember that.
You must have given... your talk and your stories many times over the years.
Yeah.
So whatever you haven't said, you can say now.
Oh.
It's part of your...
Each time I give the talk, it comes out completely differently because it goes on. It takes me 2 hours to get through the whole thing and tie it in with how my career went, because Baba sent me back to dancing. And so what I did, as soon as I got out of the army, I went back to San Francisco. You see, when I was initiated into Sufism, Baba's presence got very strong in the room. I mean, in fact, it was so strong I thought we were having an earthquake. And so my feeling was that was Baba saying that I was doing the right thing. So when I got out of the army, even though I'd already met Baba, I thought, well, it's my duty to go back to Sufism, even though I was, frankly, no longer interested in it. Because, once you meet Baba, that's the whole point of Sufism in the first place. The Murshid's duty is to get the student to the Qutb, or to the highest master that the Murshid is aware of, anyway. And by the time you've gotten to God, I wasn't interested in lessons. It seemed completely redundant, not only redundant, but silly to me. I found them consummately boring. I wanted nothing of it. And I've never seen that picture, Baba, before. That's, oh my God, that's breathtaking.
Yeah. was in Tokyo. It's actually a group thing that was a grown up
Yeah. Well, so anyway, when I got out, I went back to San Francisco, and I hated it. To this day, I hate California, which is why at last, you know, this I've left. I've hook, line, and sinker. I've closed the doors. I have no idea where I'm going. It's up to Mama.
Just recently?
Just before I came to India. I closed up shop. I closed my school. I closed my company. I resigned from the universities. I did everything and said goodbye. Closed the company. I mean, just...